God bless you all. Just greet your neighbor by your side. Greet somebody by your side. Greet them anyhow you like. If you like, hug the person.
You are in the right place.
If you like now, you can hug the person.
At the right time, with the right people, you will not go back the same way you came.
Greet everybody around you now. How about?
Right,
greet your neighbor now.
Right,
would you tell your neighbor good morning?
Right,
good morning, neighbor. Good morning.
You will not go back the same way you came. Ever since then, you are in the right place.
Amen.
At the right time.
Praise the Lord. And if you are here to worship the Lord today, can you use your hand and worship Him now? Worship Him. Clap your hand and say, Father, accept my worship today. Open your mouth while you are clapping your hand. Say, Father, accept my worship today. Father, accept my worship today. I have come to worship you. Accept my worship. Accept my worship. Amen. God bless you. Sit down first. This church, we know they get time to learn any song from this hymn book. Make us steal some few minutes today. Learn one song, hymn 171. Make we add this to the songs where we know. Hymn 171, let's learn it. We have tried to sing it some time ago. But no time. So let's sing it again today. Let's learn it. And our online members, learn from our hymn. We too, we have our hymns. Hymn 171. That song says, far away in the depth of my spirit tonight, rose a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial like, not celestial church, celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls over my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the phantomless billow of love. It says, far away in the depth of my spirit tonight, rose a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial like strains, it unceasingly falls on my soul like an infinite calm. The chorus goes like this: peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Very simple song. It's a wonderful song to sing, to meditate. How many people know it? Let me see whether people, some people know it. The old members, very old members, you know it. So let's learn it. Sing after me. It says, far away in the depth of my spirit tonight, rose a melody sweeter than sound. Take it now, let's go. Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight, rose a melody sweeter than... Take it again. Let's go. Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight, rose a melody sweeter than sound. The next line is the same thing. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls on my soul like an infinite. Let's take it again. Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than sound. It's a lesson like strength in unceasingly force. Oh, my soul, like an infinite calm. Take it again, let's go. Far away. Sing it confidently, say it. One more time, let's go. Far away. Sing it very loud. Let me hear only the sisters. Very loud. Let's go. Far away. Only the sisters. Let me hear the brothers. Let's go. Far away. Brothers, clap for yourselves. The sisters were singing it inside their nose. They no one sing confidently. The brothers were, you know, brothers are not afraid to make mistakes. Let's take the chorus now. The chorus says, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in a fathomless billows of love. Hallelujah, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over. In fatherless be. One more time. Hallelujah, peace. My spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows. Okay, let's take the first stanza and the chorus now. Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight. Shall we go? Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than sound. It's a lesson like strength in unceasingly force. Of my soul, like an infinite calm. Hallelujah, peace, peace, a wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweet, oh, my spirit forever I pray. In a fathomless billows of amen. You'll be a very good mass choir. Stand up now, let's sing it now. Together with the instruments, I will sing it to the last stanza. And we claim that peace today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Everybody now,
far away in the depth of my spirit tonight, rose a melody sweeter than sound.
Oh yes,
it's a celestial light strains in unceasing force on my soul like an infinite. Hallelujah, peace, peace, a wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, over my spirit forever I pray, in the bottomless pillows of Lord. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away. Why the years of eternity roll?
Oh, yes.
Yes, a wonderful peace coming down from the Father above.
Oh, yes.
Sweep over my spirit forever I pray. In the fathomless pillows of Lord. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control.
Oh, yes.
For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever I pray, in the bottomless billows of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And he thinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the altar of peace I shall see.
Yes, sir.
That one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing in the heavenly kingdom shall be.
Hallelujah, peace.
Peace, oh wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever I pray, in the Father.
answer.
Our soul, are you here without comfort or rest? Marching down the rough pathway of time.
Yes, sir.
Make Jesus your friend and the shadows go down. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime.
Hallelujah.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
Peace. A wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In the path of blessed pillows of love.
Oh, hallelujah.
Peace, peace.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father.
Say,
hallelujah.
Say,
oh, peace.
Wonderful peace.
Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above.
Sweep over my spirit.
Sweep over my spirit. Forever
I pray.
Hey. In the path of life.
Let me hear the sisters. Sisters. Hallelujah, sisters. Let me hear the brothers now. Hallelujah. Guitar boy. Let me hear the trumpets. Jesus, keep me near the cross is the prayer of a believer, for that is where the true peace is. The true peace is at the cross of Jesus. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Peace is not in the money you are chasing every day. Peace is not in any political power. Peace is in Christ Jesus, and it flows through the cross.
Beyond the river,
in the cross. Before we sit down, 1 John chapter 2 and 1 verse 18. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. First John chapter 2, 1 verse 18. Before we sit down, let's pick our text from there. Hallelujah. Now, 1 John chapter 2, let's pick it for a text. Little children, this is from Apostle John. It is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. Amen. He said, Antichrist shall come. He said, even now, at that material time already, Antichrist have come. So there are Antichrists. And there is the Antichrist. And that is what the study of the book of Daniel, I believe, is all about. So, as we shall read chapter 8, correct? Which chapter are we now? Chapter 8. As we shall be reading chapter 8, have it at the back of your mind that what God was showing Daniel is what the end will look like. And remember, the reference is always on Israel. Catch this at the back of your mind as we study. Hallelujah. Just know that the book of Daniel, whatever God was showing him, is in relation to Israel. The focal point is Israel. The focal point is Israel. The end of Israel. Things that will befall Israel at just before the final times of the angel, Gentile, the end comes. What shall befall Israel? Just know that. Because I've told you, the Antichrist that is coming, and Satan generally, if you look at Revelation chapter 12, let's read it to buttress this point. Just to buttress the point before we come to read this, let's get it. So that when we are reading, you can catch the picture even before I start to explain. Revelation chapter 12, that woman there, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That verse 1 is trying to tell you that she's is making reference to God's covenant on Israel, depicted by, that comprises the 12 tribes of Israel. And she, be with child, cried, traveling in birth, and pained to be delivered. Which child is a prophecy? She was pregnant with the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. For there were prophecies that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Israel was expecting a Messiah. And she was pained because she had been under captivity. She had been facing, one problem or the other. But there is a promise that if the Messiah comes, he will establish a kingdom forever that shall not be moved again. And that is why Israel was in so much expectation, including even John. John became confused later on, and he had to send his disciple again, even after he introduced, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taken away the sin of the world." And then while he is still there, but John forgot that he made a prophecy. He said, "I shall decrease and he shall increase." And he was going to decrease through the prison and finally die. He was in the prison. And he expected that if it is the Messiah, that he will be delivered. And so he got confused, he had to send his disciple again. "Please, go and ask that man again. Is he the one we are expecting, or another one is coming?" They were in expectation. Verse 3. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads." And you know that that dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and you know that is telling you, pointing you prophetically, pointing you by revelation, by the spirit of revelation, symbolically, about that demon that will be controlling those these European powers that they are now, that culminated the fourth, which was the fourth beast, and it is on the days of that fourth beast, the Roman Empire, that the Antichrist manifests, and that ends also the times of the Gentiles, describing the dragon behind the Roman Empire, the demon, the devil, and it is not even Lucifer himself. And he's trying to tell you the history of Lucifer, who he is. Verse 4. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven." When did it happen? In the battle in heaven, when he wanted to claim equality with God. When iniquity was found in him, when he wanted to be like the Most High. And he got one third of the angels in heaven to follow him. And what became of him? He was cast, and he did cast them to the earth, those that he drew. And the dragon stood before the woman, before Israel, which was ready to be delivered. So Satan was already in Israel. He knows something is going to happen. Church, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Witches and wizards see your stars immediately you are born. Even when you are in your womb of your mother, they already know that child to be born is something special. And that is why if you have a special child, you are going to deliver a special child. Always watch such children before you born them, they go with wahala. Amen. Verse 4 again. "And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered." To do what? "For to devour her child as soon as it was born." And that lets you know it was that same old Lucifer serpent that came and inspired or possessed Herod. When those wise men came and said, "The land, the king is born." And he said, "You should go and find out where, locate where the king is, the boy is born, And then he should come and tell him so that he too will go and see him. But God knew what spirit was following. He wants to see where the child is born. And then the angel came and gave them that dream that made Joseph take him and go and hide in Egypt. Anytime I read this, praise God, I get very excited to see how God sometimes fights his battles. You might think that Moses, that was ordained to deliver Israel, where was he brought up? Hallelujah. Amen. And when he finished the assignment, he was hiding him there. And I say it, all those that God will use, look at Apostle Paul. He is already ordained to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. But where was he? He made him to be trained very well in the law. In the best school of theology, under Gamaliel. Amen. And equipped him so that he will not use him to tell him, oh, glory be to God. He will always train his people first before he put them where he wants to put them. Any ministry, any man, any woman that we use, there's always something peculiar about that person. And he took Jesus Christ and hid him in Egypt. So certainly Herod will not go to Egypt to look for him. Even the Egyptians will not know that a great thing has come in their midst. He hid them there. Somebody here, God is hiding you where you are now. At the appropriate time, he will shoot you up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And she, the woman, Israel, brought forth a man child, verse 5, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. When will he do it? In the millennium. That is when it will happen. And her child, the child of Israel, was caught up unto God and to his throne. When? In Acts chapter 1, after he resurrected. And the Bible says, they stood there at the Mount of Olives and they saw when he went up. That is the child being referred to. Now, but in verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And when will that take place? It takes place at the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years of the 7 years, or rather the 7 years period left in Daniel 70 weeks, which we shall get to in chapter 9. 3.5 years is 1,260 days. Amen. He said the woman fled into the wilderness. Why? Because of the persecution. Persecution. Well, why I'm making reference to this is for you to let you know. So, if they ask you now, if they ask you, where is Satan himself? Where will you find him? Where is his location? Now, he is not in level 999. He is not in level 666. Forget those testimony of people who say they promoted them until they saw Lucifer. They don't see Lucifer, nothing. I'm speaking by the revelation of the scriptures. Amen. Satan knows where he's busy at. The Satan knows the person that is coming, the man that is coming to end his reign on earth here is Jesus Christ. He's in control now. And so all he's busy doing is, I know. Even his spirits know, his demons know it. They saw Jesus. Have you come to torment us before our time? So they know that their time is limited, and that is the person. For the scripture says, the Father judgeth no man, but he has committed all judgment to Jesus Christ, to his Son. Amen. So unless you catch this, you will be bothering with Marine Kingdom, a shrine here, a shrine there. Those ones are just to disturb our peace here on earth. And to make this earth ungovernable. They are the ministers of Satan. To draw in heaven, he drew one third. On earth here too. Hallelujah. He has billions that he's drawing to follow him. Follow him to where? To where he will end up. I will not go alone. I will not go alone. So, to start with, amen. That's why I told you, I said that unless you catch this revelation, all you'll be doing is just religion. And the day you catch a revelation of all we have been trying to put across to you in this ministry and the entire message generally for those who have caught why God gave us this message. All we are trying to do, amen. They call me from around the world. A sister was getting transferred to Abuja and she's telling me she's worried, she's disturbed. She's going to miss, and there's no bride in Abuja, and she's going to miss him. And I'm telling you, I said, sister, listen. Fellowship will come naturally. Fellowship will come naturally. But what we are trying to do here is not to draw men to us, but to establish the individual in a relationship with God. Start there first. When you have a personal relationship with God, then you will not be busy looking for fellowship. You will be busy looking for God. Look for God first. That's the problem we have. So many people come to church. A church to them is a place of refuge. People come to church so that they will get identity. People, because the whole Christian faith has been turned upside down. Brethren, this thing we call church today did not begin with us. It began in a period where persecution was so much, brethren were not gathering, they were moving from house to house. Because they would not allow them to sit down and worship God. And God wanted to prove to them that the gates of hell cannot prevail. And then he allowed them. But the more you persecute the believer, the closer he gets to his God. You can't quench the light if it is a true light. And that light can only burn because there is enough oil. Praise the Lord. Revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And I keep saying this, you know, I say, let's come down home here. Some people are still on the way coming to church to worship God, isn't it, on Sunday? Some people are on the way coming to church. And you know where they are living? They are living across the road, Ijesha. But these same people, they will go to their own markets, their own shop. They will go there 7 a.m., their shop is open before any customer will wake up and come. They are ready. Now. But in this same setting, there are people here, they are not ministers. They are not church workers in any way. But first thing this morning, 30 minutes before service started, 1 hour, they were already seated here. Now, what is the difference between this one that stood up and came to church that early, and the one that is coming to church reluctantly? Is a revelation. It is relationship. It's a reflection of how you relate with God. That is the truth. You know, that is why it is not about fellowship. Because so much is emphasized on fellowship, that is why you are busy looking at how people behave around you and you get stumbled. You get stumbled. You know when it is time for your flight to take off. You are traveling. You know how early you wake up to be able to catch your flight. But this heavenly flight, spiritual flight of fellowship, even once And such people don't come for any midweek activity. They come only on Sunday. And even that Sunday, they come. And please, one of the reasons they don't come early, can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? The reason is because they want to sit at the back. Let me expose them small. Why do they want to sit at the back? They have a certain time they must leave here. When you see your neighbor, smarter, you do like this. Smarter, you do like this. You don't see the people in the front doing that. They are always at the back. So that he has his time. He doesn't spend more than 1 hour, 2 hours, 1 hour in the church, 1 hour. That's why, that's my only problem with these bride people. You know, if it is winners now, you know, by this time now, we should be having the seventh service for today. You know, so that we can go and watch football, or so that we can go and sit down and watch television, or so that we can go for town meeting. Even me, we be human being, they see you. God who sees all things, Sunko. It's a reflection. It's a reflection of how you relate with him. If anybody finds it difficult to pray or to study or to do anything spiritual, you find it difficult to do, but you find it easy, you know, to do some other thing that satisfies the flesh. You can stay for 2 hours and read newspaper page to page, page to page. You can stay on your Facebook this year and visit this one. In fact, the ones you have is not enough. You are still making requests for friends. You need more. You need more. And out of these 1,000 people, your friends, you must hear and see from every one of them every day. You know, you must answer back. And no, you know, you must now. And then you make it a point of duty. So they, before you know what, midnight don't go. But when it comes to prayer, after 5 minutes, you don't know what to talk again. You carry Bible to read. You don't even understand what is written there again. No interest. It is nothing but a reflection of your spiritual estate. And you are a miserable Christian. And you, in fact, you are not a Christian. You are not a Christian. No, you are not a Christian. Lie, lie. And that's why, watch all those people. See, if you are a true seed of God, whatever it is that God will do to call your attention, he will do it. God loves his children to talk to him. And you don't have time for him. He will throw one calamity upon you. And immediately he will give you one horrible dream. When you wake up like Nebuchadnezzar, your body will shake. Then you will go to prophet. Because you don't have relationship with God to find out waiting now. You will go to prophet. I'm telling you now, the first thing the prophet will say, 7 days midnight. That's the first thing he will give you. The Lord will say, 7 days midnight. Then after that, come plus fasting, you know, 6 to 6 fasting and 7 days midnight prayer, 7 days. Amen. Because you must pay for all the midnight where you know, pray for, you know, talk to them. You must pay back. All the fasting, where with the fast, you know the fast, you must fast back. That is God's own way. It's only through children he do that with. Oh, if you are not his child, he doesn't care about you. Don't continue your religion. But you are a true seed of God and you don't have time for God. He knows how to create time between the two of you. I gave you the example of a picture that the picture of a shepherd, a portrait of a shepherd. Many of you have seen that. He's carrying sheep, he's leading sheep in the field, but there's one sheep that is on his shoulder with a broken leg. So the story behind that is that shepherd, a particular sheep, all the rest, they'll be moving in the same direction, but that one will go off. Then the shepherd will pursue and pursue and pursue and then bring and come back. Then, you know, You go ahead. Slaughter, you will go again. You will pursue him and bring him back. Then which can one be this? Then he decided to, the day he grabbed it, then he broke his leg. When he broke the leg of that sheep, then the sheep couldn't walk again. Then he carried him now and put him on his shoulder and began to nurse the wound. You see, I don't like the way you walk like this. You keep suffering me like this. And then all the discussion that they should discuss while he's in his shoulder. Somebody here, you are right now in the shoulder of Jesus Christ. That's why you are suffering all the things you are suffering, so that you can restore relationship. Praise the Lord. This thing I'm telling you, whether I teach you or not, it's not something you will teach. It's something every one of us will experience. I'm only trying to tell you, save yourself by building a relationship with God. Give to God the time that is due to him, and give to your business the time that is due for your business. Give the appropriate time to everything you do, and let God have the most time. Let him come first. God will help you. And so, what we're trying to establish here is for you to know how Satan works. Satan is in the church. Satan is where God is. Satan is not in Buddha. Satan is not in Islam. Satan is, it is a small, small, small general, because he too is a kingdom. He's a kingdom. So he's arranged also. He has his fivefold ministry. He has princes that rule every nation. He has federal government. He has state government. He has local government. He has counselors. He's also arranged. There is principality that is watching over your village. There's principality that is watching over your compound, even your compound. He's there, he's there. And what is he interested? He is interested in recruiting people to follow their master, Satan himself. Amen. Then when he has settled that kingdom, he is now facing where the real trouble is. He cannot commit that assignment to any demon by himself. And that assignment is Israel. For that is where God's covenant people are. William Branham used this terminology when he said, if you want to know the time of the day, where should you look at the clock? You look at the clock, you look at your wristwatch. He said, in the program of God, if you want to know where God is now in his agenda, where should you watch? He said, watch Israel. Israel is God's timepiece. Every activity in the world today, hallelujah, is centered around Israel. And so that you will know, this is not about Israel, it's about God. See, tiny Israel, how many are they? And it is a focal point for the whole world. Every United Nations General Assembly, number one focus on Israel. The day that the president or prime minister of Israel is coming to talk, the whole hall will be filled. And when they come to talk, they come with pride. They know who they are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so Satan is interested. When the Bible says he, God, will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, that the whole world will burden themselves on Israel. And to tell you that this is Satan, everybody knows that that nation is not an ordinary nation. A nation that has existed and for all these thousands of years, and their identity has not been disturbed. They still maintain their tribe. I mean their language. No matter how you try to scatter them, anywhere they go, they are like Igbo people in Nigeria. You cannot destroy their identity. Igbo man, wherever. Sorry, am I correct? Praise the Lord. Look at me now. I have my own tribe, I have my own identity. But when people come to me, they think that I am Igbo. Because my identity has been destroyed. But if it were an Igbo man that is here, when he preach, finish, one day he will bring interpreter to speak in English while he will preach in Igbo. He wants the whole world to know, say, he's an Igbo man. Even to marry. Now from marriage, in fact, ask my children now where they come from, they don't know. Praise the Lord. If you ask my children, where are you coming from? Mommy say, I'm from, where? And that is how Israel is. You can't kill their identity. Amen. Because of their peculiarity. Anywhere they are. And so Satan has been after them. See what he used Hitler to do. Thinking he will finish them. And today, I try to see that documentary. Israel is the one that has given the whole world the most technology. Jews. Tell me, just like, if I talk now, their head will swell up. Only Igbo people are manufacturers here in Nigeria. Tell me one shoe, where Hausa man make. But I can take you, Hausa man produce hides and skin from the nama they chop. Igbo man collect it and turn it to a tannery and then make shoe. And come and put the label of Jojo Amani. Praise the Lord. The Jews in the area of medicine, every discovery, major breakthrough in any vaccine, in any medical technology, even including this thing they do, temperature for blood pressure, anything, don't mention it. It's a Jew that invented it. And these arms, people don't know why America and Jews, they have this tie. They have this tie, defense pact. The people that are the professors of technology of the National Airspace Agency, that make all the satellites, that do everything, they are Jews. If you drive them come out, they will go back to Israel and America is finished. They will do that technology in Israel. So America keep them and say, don't worry, we will defend your country. Just make the arms here. Everything technology, everything you can think of, they are the ones that have made it. And a nation that scattered for more than 1,000 years, and they came back in 1948, and see the level of technology they have, the level of development. Go and see how they have rebuilt every part. They turn a desert. They turn a desert to an exporter of food. They export food. They are the best agriculturists. The best farmers. Why? There is something about them and Satan knows it. But more importantly is that the Messiah that is coming through Israel. And so God is telling his people, amen, how to locate that where he will be fighting, where Satan is. We have Christ to solve the mystery of iniquity as the mystery of godliness to counter the mystery of iniquity. Satan has the mystery of iniquity. Christ is the counter with the spirit and with the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. I dwelt on that last week, Sunday. It's a mystery. Amen. And so, by the time we come to chapter 9, you will now see where you and I come in. But as far as Daniel, the book of Daniel is concerned, it has nothing to do with all of us here now. No Gentile is part of that. Until we will come and see where we fit in. Amen. So that you will know that we are only a stopgap of his dealing with his people, Israel. We are only a stopgap, the Gentile. We are only a stopgap. And why we say this? So that the privilege, Apostle Paul made it clear in Revelation chapter 11. He made it clear, don't think you are something. Don't even think you are something. He said, blindness in part, it's only in part, has come upon Israel. And he also says, so all Israel will be saved. He knows what he's talking about. Because salvation is of the Jews. So that you'll understand your estate. And so that you also understand why the Bible says we are adopted. He's given us the spirit of adoption. So that you will know the privilege you have been given to not only come in, but see you occupy even a higher position than Israel. So that you will see the great privilege we have and see reason to serve this God under every condition, any condition at all. So why I'm emphasizing this? So that when we read the book of Daniel, just see that the emphasis there is the location of the Antichrist.